This Beneath Club. Oh, man. Okay, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to John chapter 19. This is the second part of last week's message, Imperative Words from Jesus. We'll read the same scriptures again because it has to do with Jesus' famous last words, or which were very important words for all of us as believers in Jesus Christ. So, beginning with verse 28, follow along with me again. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scriptures, said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour vinegar or wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine upon the branch of the hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, what did I say that Greek word is? Telestai, which means it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When you read the records of John here, I recommend that you read the book of John this season. Start with chapter 1 and read all the way to the end, chapter 20. Because it has some very important instruction for us as believers. John, he was really close to Jesus. You can tell by his writings that he had a heart for the Lord. He was always next to him, laying his head upon Jesus, getting in as close and trying to learn as much as possible. And when you look at John's records, he lists three of Christ's seven words or statements from the cross. He is careful to note the fulfillment of the scriptures and the gambling seamless robe, which also the Old Testament talks about it in Psalms 22:18. And then the giving of the vinegar, as we just read about. And it's also mentioned in Psalm 69:21. And the piercing of his side is also mentioned without breaking any bones. Remember those that were on the cross beside Jesus? Their bones were broken because they were still alive. The sins of the world killed our Lord, our sins. And that's why no bone was broken. And that's also mentioned in Psalms 34:20 with Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, and Zechariah 12:10. And if you note here in verse 37, which I didn't read, well, I will read that anyway, which says, and again, another scripture says, what is that other scripture? It talks about in Zechariah 12:10. They shall look on him who they pierced. Okay? So, in this, verse 37 doesn't say in Zechariah 12:10 was fulfilled, rather that Zechariah 12:10 says that he would be pierced. Okay? Now, they look upon him at the future day when he returns. He would be returning in glory. And Revelation tells us that in the first chapter, verse 17, in the first chapter, the first few verses is all about the Lamb of God. Him returning one of these days. You know, he's come once, he's coming again. the second coming. And then he will return with glory in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, which is another great book I love to read and study. Many people don't like to read and study because they don't understand it. A lot of symbolisms in Revelation. We have studied that on Wednesday night in our Bible study. I encourage you to come to our Bible study. We're experiencing and God's moving in a mighty way in our Bible study, and it's a way that we can learn together. So every detail about the crucifixion was carefully worked out by the hand of God, and John discloses it all. Well, actually, if you read all four Gospels, which are the synoptic Gospels, seeing together, seeing in line with each other, explains all about Jesus's crucifixion and everything that took place in that. So, last week we talked about the servant's word, where Jesus said, it's completed, the task that the Lord, the Father, has sent me to do. That's why he said, it is finished. And then, also, the priestly word, a perfect sacrifice. Jesus is and was the perfect sacrifice, once and for all. No more sacrifices. Jesus paid the sin in full. So, that's what we talked about last week. And today, we'll be talking about the artist's word, which is a masterpiece. I was reflecting on masterpiece. How many of you out here are artists? No artists here? I thought there would be at least one. Well, I don't consider myself an artist at all. However, in my younger years, I loved doing oil and water paintings, and I still have some of those. I don't have them. My mother has them. She wanted to keep them, and that's good. And I did take a couple of classes, art classes, in high school as electives. I just thought that'd be something good to do because I like to draw. So I've always loved to draw all sorts of things, and which I did when I engineering was my profession. I also like to draw cartoon characters of all sorts. And over the years, my interest, though, has changed, and my focus is on other areas. And when I was at the University of Tennessee Space Center, and when I entered the Bible college and seminary, I would go back to visit my friends there at the Space Center, the engineering department. And one day I went back, and in the engineering department and so forth, we had many things on the walls and so forth, but I got to looking real close, and a lot of my drawings were hanging on the wall. And I asked Wes McMahon, I said, why are my drawings hanging on the wall? He said, well, we only put up the best. So I said, wow. I was just blown away that they would put my drawings, I don't know if they was obsolete or what, didn't need them anymore, but they was on the wall. And, no, I don't think so, but they did. They put them there for display so that they, a lot of the public that came in and did the tours of the museums and things there could see what we were doing and the work. They were selective in what they put up there, but they did, Wes McMahon, I said, man, I'm blown away. So I was thinking about that this morning. So maybe I am an artist, you know. To some that maybe knew me or know me, but I probably wasn't to my elementary teachers, because every time I would get caught drawing, and when I should have been doing classwork, they would tell me, "You think you're going to be doing this the rest of your life?" Well, I did part of my life, not all my life. But so the Greek artist back then led the world in creativity. The Greek artist did. And when the last stroke of the paint was applied to the canvases of the last piece of the marble art was chiseled or painted, he would stand back in a Greek word, and they used the Greek word, telestia, they would say, finished. And this is now a way he would be saying, this is a masterpiece. That's what they would say. Now, I don't know how many of you remember Bob Ross. Do you remember Bob Ross? Yeah, we do. He was an American painter, instructor, television host. How many of you saw his TV shows when he was drawing? And so fantastic, wasn't it? And had a unique way of doing it. He was the creator and host of The Joy of Painting. How many of you saw that? Okay, you saw that. Which he taught on a television program that aired from 1983 to 1994. He died in 1994. Leukemia. And his wife died earlier, and then he died a little bit later. But he was very private person, and didn't disclose even he was sick until he died, and it was told after that. But he would say, let's put a little tree over here. Remember that? You remember him saying that? Let's put a little tree over here and a pretty little bird in this tree, and his hair was the tree. I don't know if you remember that, but that was. So it was amazing how he could complete a masterpiece so quickly in 30 minutes. He was that quick. I don't know if you've seen Christian artists and so forth. I've seen a few over the years, as they would be speaking, they would be painting and so forth. And within that 30 minutes that they would be painting and speaking, they would complete their masterpiece or their painting in 30 minutes and put it on that black light. And it would really glow and shine and shine. And the first time you see him, you do it, there's a serene moment you witness, because though you've been watching him, you know, delicately working and creative magic, he would now and then reach over and grab a big glob of paint, and he would just throw it on the canvas, and you say, oh, man, it's ruined. But he would take that brush, and he would move it and stroke it back and forth until he came up with another masterpiece. You know, when he died on the cross, it didn't fit in all with what the disciples had pictured or planned in their heart and in their mind. It didn't fit with them. His crucifixion was a big glob of paint globbed onto what was up at that time, I think, a work of art that they thought was coming together as well. And in their mind, they were probably thinking, our lives are ruined. This whole picture of Christ being with us and teaching us and going to be with us here on out, our lives are ruined. But God, you know, I do think he was working out his master plan. See, we try to paint a rosy picture of our lives. We often try to do that. And just when it looks like things are coming together, a big glob of dark colors comes splashing down in our lives. And that's what the disciples and those in that day was experiencing when Jesus went to the cross. It was like the blues of depression and the grays of confusion, the black of grief. I mean, it was just black in their thoughts and in their minds and confusions and so forth. And suddenly, it's all your eyes can see and it's all you can grasp. And I can imagine what they were going through that day. Then God enters, working all that for the good. It is for the good because it's good for us, because He provided salvation, sin for atonement for sin. And see, you step back and you watch Him work, and you realize that the dark colors are just as important as the bright pastels in the colors of painting. So one day it will all come to focus. We'll see it much clearer. And we read about it, and we study about it, and we try to think about Christ's death and His resurrection every day in our lives. But one of these days, we're going to see the big picture and the true picture and see Jesus face to face, just like the disciples experienced it. And maybe here on earth, and maybe not until heaven, okay? But God Himself will say, Talitha, it is finished. It's a masterpiece. It's complete. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship. How many of you knew that? Do you know that we are God's workmanship? It all happened back in Genesis when He created Adam and Eve. We all became a part of God's workmanship. And then He said, created. See, Jesus came along. Jesus always existed. We were created in Jesus Christ for good works. That's underlined, okay? Good works. Which God prepared beforehand so that we would do what? Walk in those things. That's why Romans chapter 6 is so important, where it says that we was buried like Jesus in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection, that we might walk in the newness of life. And the same thing is this, that our deeds, that we would walk in them. Walk just like Jesus did. And to clarify this workmanship, it's a word of poema. It's poem. Or a work of art. You probably didn't know that this was going to be a Greek message today. Pastor's Greek message. But it is so important that we see poema, which is poem, which is the workmanship that Christ created in us. See, needlework can be beautiful. And many of you ladies do needlework, don't you? And I stand aside amazed and just awe that you ladies do that. Do you notice on the top side, it's a real clear, pretty picture, isn't it? What's on the back side? Looks like a lot of jumbled up thread, all intertwined, and doesn't make a lot of sense, right? But when you turn it on the front side, it's really clear. You see the picture and you see the images, how beautiful they are. Well, today we see God's plan from the underside, and the threads seem tangled and jumbled. But one of these days, our Heavenly Father will rise up again and we'll view the other side. We'll see it much clearer. It'll be a beautiful picture. And you know what? It will make sense. What we see today and what we hear and we read and study today, it will make all the difference in the world when we see and view the beautiful masterpiece of Jesus Christ. And as the scripture said, we are his workmanship. We are his Talista. It's a finished work. It's a masterpiece. Okay, let's move on. The merchant word, which means paid in full. See, in business transactions, a man who owned his creditor would pay his bill. If he owed a creditor, he would pay his bill. And the merchant would write across the bill, what? When you see your receipt, if you pay something, you pay for it, you know, you don't owe anymore, what's usually across or stamped on there? It's paid in full. I like that, don't you? You know, I don't like to owe anybody anything. I like it paid in full. Well, Jesus paid it in full. He paid our sin debt. See, I'm going to heaven because God has overlooked my sin. Right? No. I'm not going to heaven because God overlooked my sin. Right? That's the way it is. Sin must be paid for, and Jesus paid mine, so I won't have to. He paid your sin, so you won't have to. So, I'm not going to heaven because God has overlooked my sin, turned a blind eye, or swept it under the rug. He paid it in full, there on Calvary. Now, attention. Your sin will either be pardoned in Christ, or those who do not believe will be punished in hell, won't they? And why choose to continue a path to destruction? You know, we need to warn people about that. What a wonderful time of the year for anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior to come to that saving knowledge, knowing that He died for our sins. I was in a store this week, and I'm always looking for something to read. Well, there was this track that someone left from Lancaster, Indiana. You know where Lancaster, Indiana is? Leon Hunter is the pastor at the church there. Of course, I don't know him personally, but that's what it said on the back of the track. But he had these scattered out everywhere in the store. He just dropped them. And I got to reading it, and it really put a gloom, dark picture about the plan of salvation as you read through it. Because to me, I mean, for a lost person to read that and see the pictures and everything, they would say, hey, I don't want to read that. But once you get to the very end, then it was, it gave a message about how to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it is a dark gloom thinking about what hell is going to be like for those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But the picture, the beautiful picture of that is explained about this knitting cross knitting or needlepoint and so forth. On the back side, it is gloomy. But on the front side, the other side, where you really see the finished product, the masterpiece, it really tells us that's what it is. And that's what it is when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, let's look at this paid in full, our sin debt. Now, a warrior's word. A warrior's word is what? Victory. Victory. That's why Jesus came riding in on a donkey, right? To show humility. Of course, horses shows, you know, warrior, triumph. Victory and so forth. But this word was used in battle. When the battle was over, the soldier would report to the general that the victory was won, and he would say, in those days, in the Greek, Talistia, it's finished. And this just gets better and better Jesus went ahead to head with the devil in his own backyard. And Jesus faced Satan, not in the form of God, but as a man. You see, he was both man and he was both divine. And he turned the tables on the serpent, crushing his head with the very heel, as it says in Genesis chapter 3:15. He was nailed to the cross, and then he died on a cross, but he didn't stay there, right? He went to the grave. And the battle is over. When he said, "It is finished," telestia, "it is finished." The victory has been won. That's what Jesus was saying. See? It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There's be one more war. And we know what that's going to be like. And that's going to be won by God. It's finished. The end of the conflict. It's finished. And Jesus is Lord. See, a warrior's word is victory. Victory. Jesus won a victory over death, hell, and the grave. And then he gives the victory to us. See, we live in victory today. Even though we're still here on this earth, we're serving him. We're living for him. Walking our good deeds will show our faith. Faith and works go together. This is good because death will occur. The grave takes the body. Hell awaits the soul. For those who don't know him personally, aren't you glad that the battle was fought for you and it's already over for you? All we have to do is just claim it one of these days. It's only the shadow of death, as mentioned in Psalms 23, where David said, "The shadows of death. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you're with me." And then he says in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that dwell means to settle down because you're at home. See, I'm glad that God is able to finish what he starts. How many of you like to finish what you start? How many of you started something and never finished it? You're still working on it? Well, praise God, you know, he finishes whatever he starts. And in one of the days when he finishes your home in heaven, that might be the day he calls you home, right? He's working on everybody's right now. Yeah, and you're working out your salvation day by day. That's what Philippians said, working out. And God will complete what he is working in your life until he comes one of these days. And that's Philippians 1:6. Which is my verse I want to share with you. Being confident. Are you confident today where you stand with the Lord? We need to be. We must understand that being confident of this very thing, that which he hath begun a good work in you, going back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship. And then here it says, begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it never ends. It's a continuation. He'll continue to work on you day and night. It's a daily process in your life as he's working out, as you work out your salvation. You're not working to be saved, but you're working out the good deeds that we are to do. And that's why Jesus said, "I did that. I finished my task. It's done." And then he says, turns to the disciples and those around him and says, "You have an even greater work to accomplish, because I'm going to the Father." Now, should we stand up and take notice if we have a greater work to accomplish, we need to be busy working at it. You know, yeah, we go about our daily activities and chores and stuff like that. But at the same time, we need to be saying, okay, Lord, I got to balance this out. I'm working, I'm serving you. So don't let these other priorities take priority over what I am to do for you. If we do, we're not accomplishing what God has put us here to do. So, perform, the word you see perform there, you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That perform means finish. Okay? Anytime you see that word up there in the Greek form, it means finish. The Greek term has 12 tenses, so you know it has a lot of meanings in different words, and however it's used in the Scripture. But this form, perform, means to finish. Just like Jesus stated, it is finished. So you may feel like things are falling apart in, or that you're finished. Well, we're not finished until God's finished with us, right? So don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. God's not through with you. Well, isn't that what Helen Peck used to say? Singing in the choir, she said, God's not through with me. Ain't through with me yet, I guess. You know, ain't through with me yet. And it may at times seem like God has forgotten you, but be reminded today from God's word that he finishes what he starts. He does. And when he said on the cross, Talitha, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. I'm glad. And he and all he was going to do through you and me. Well, in closing, that work is still in process. The work that God is doing in your life, in my life, it is still in process. And rest assured, you are his masterpiece. And you will be completed. We are his masterpiece, created unto good works. And it will be completed one of these days. Whether he chooses to come back today or tomorrow, whenever, He's working that process in your life right now as you sit right here. You believe that? Yeah. He's working through you and in you. And through the Holy Spirit's power will do great things in all of our lives when we make ourselves available to him and submit and surrender all to him. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for the powerful, powerful message that you have for each one of us. And all we have to do is just get into your word and read it and study it and understand that you will give us the discernment to be able to know what message that you want us to hear and receive. We all may hear it differently because we're all not on the same page with at all times. We all have different areas of our life that needs to be perfected or being completed or finished. We may not all be at the same place at the same time, but one thing for sure we do know, if we know your Son Jesus Christ, we are your children. And Lord, you speak to each one of our hearts in a way that we understand at that moment what we need to do. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that you always make it clear. All we got to do is ask or run to you. And you softly and tenderly, as we sing sometime, reveal it to us. This morning, Lord, we just pray that we come to your altar with open hearts and minds, ready to receive your message, your invitation. Whatever you want us to do, may we do it this morning. Before we leave here, settle anything with you. Lord, thank you for your invitation. Thank you that you went to the cross for us. Thank you that you said, it is finished. It is complete. And all we got to do now is by faith enter into your house. The kingdom of God, one of these days, Lord, that you're preparing for each one of us who loves you and called according to your purpose. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is 371, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Let us stand as we sing.